As I was saying, we're in document 41REV. That means a review. I want to tell you what I am going to run into systematically, and it has already started. If you'll see page, I'll find it. It's important you to know this. On page 404, you'll see the doctrine of capacity. That's the first doctrine, I think, that we observed in our run through chapter 5. But I think this doctrine is very important, and there are a couple of more along the way that I'll repeat as well because they blend in so well with the passage in which they're found. But nevertheless, I'm going to get with Paul. There are going to be other doctrines that I'll reference on the way through our review, but not go through. But there are two or three more along the way that we will reference because they're important for you to remember. Okay, I believe we've got what page number? We want to start on page 405. I want to go through the alphabet that we've noted under point 8. We noted several of these, but I want to keep them in context and then move on in our study. We are in document 41. We're on page 405, point 8. All too often, have you people rebounded? I could tell. Well, Paul has to go outside. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity to gather here and to continue our pursuit of truth. It's our prayer that as we concentrate on those things we're about to examine, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. All too often, the system of happiness that believers seek is based on a false premise called the if system of happiness. The if system of happiness is a system of unreality, of dreaming, of hoping, of assuming that you do not have happiness because you do not have these things. And it includes the following thoughts. I thought that I would go back in time, see if I can find this. I want to find my if onlys. Well, I thought I had if onlys, but I guess I don't. That's really nice, the if onlys. Well, that's sort of a review as we go through that. As I went through those, you all said, oh, I remember those perfectly. Well, here are the if onlys, and they're in your notes. If I only married this or that person, you wish you had married someone else. This is no capacity for love. If I'd only done this rather than that, this is the concept of no capacity for blessing. No capacity for blessing means you have failed to understand or execute the unique spiritual life of the church age. If only I had this detail of life or that detail of life. That is, no capacity for what God has provided. It is what we want rather than what God has provided for us, and He always knows what is best for us. If I only had good luck, that means no capacity for the plan of God. If only I had $1 million, well, this is no capacity for prosperity. If God wanted you to have $1 million, you'd have $1 million. This means no capacity for life. If I could only have the man of my dreams, that means no capacity for true love. If I could only meet the woman of my dreams, this is also no capacity for love. capacity for true love comes from Bible doctrine, and God provides the right man. If I could achieve the approbation of this or that person, this means no capacity for occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ is part of this great happiness that God has given to believers who execute this spiritual life. You do not have to wish for it because it has already been given to you in eternity past. Sharing the happiness of God is a part of the plan of God for your life, as well as occupation with Christ, especially in times of adversity. If I could only be as handsome as someone else, this means no capacity for the right emphasis. How you look is how God planned it. And that's where we left off in our study. But we continue on with paragraph J. If I can only be as beautiful as someone else, this means no capacity for the right emphasis for the woman. This has nothing to do with the inner beauty of the woman's respect for the authority of her husband as she would respect God. The highest love a woman can have is not romance, but respect. And thus, respect is the inner beauty of the woman. If I only had what he has, this is lust to destroy your capacity. You may want this personality, this sense of humor, the ability to entertain others. These things will never make you happy. They are a distraction to the spiritual life. And finally, if I only had what she had, and wanting to be desired by all men, etc., this is not happiness. This is distraction by means of sin, evil, and failure. These things which we lust for are the reason why we are under divine punishment as individuals and as a nation. I just want to know if you got that last point. People are not happy today, are they? Not happy at all. And they have decided to be violent about it. They've decided they're going to invent things out of whole cloth and decide to do things that are in complete contradistinction for what order would demand. And when there's a loss of order in a client nation, that is a very dangerous situation in the souls of the individuals. The client nation continues to function because it's simply real estate. But there are concepts and ideas that have to be retained in the souls of the population and therefore applied consistently day by day in order to maintain what we would call legitimate, relaxed mental attitude for the citizens of the country. To be relaxed and be able to move about society without any fear of others is the way things ought to be in a client nation. We've lost that, and it's been lost in rapid order. I believe that we went through a period of about 4 years, and we're not done with it yet. They still have things on their agenda that they want to implement before they ride out of town next January. But they want to implement their strategies before they leave. And that's fine because that's who they are and they've been doing it for almost 4 years. So we get that. But there's a good chance if we can get to January the 20th that things in order might be at least a process that will restore order. But we are disordered as a client nation right now, and it didn't take long. And when you see people in areas of the country, let's put it that way, one way to describe this would be blue areas. where absolute chaos has emerged and laws have been broken, crimes have been committed, people have been murdered at all. And this is a client nation and this is okay. That means loss of thought. And when there's a loss of thought, these kinds of things emerge full bore. And so we've seen it up close and personal. That's what it looks like when a client nation is in decline. But enough people got their, let's just say, their stuff together and went to the polls and said, maybe we could delay this to some degree if we could just start over. We'll see how that plays out. We'll see if it plays out. Principles of application again. Capacity from Bible doctrine and reciprocal love for God must precede blessing from God. Bible doctrine and reciprocal love for God. God loves us. We have to reciprocate by loving Him. How do we love God? We learn His Word. We facilitate that in our stream of consciousness. We reference it for recall and application as situations require. Therefore, we're in league with God by the way He thinks to such degree that we have it in our souls. New believers can acquire this information systematically as new believers. They facilitate what they know and apply what they can recall. But over time, there are 11 categories of systematic theology replete with all sorts of concepts, ideas, principles, and doctrines that if you know them, will guide and direct you in making good decisions from that inventory of biblical absolutes. And if you can do that, then you're doing your duty. It is the beginning of inner beauty, inner blessing, and the dynamic spiritual life God has given to us. The if system of happiness has zero capacity for a blessing from God. If they are all things related to your arrogance and lust, and they combine to destroy your spiritual life. That's an if system. The if system of happiness has no capacity for true love, so that you will never know true love in a relationship. So the question arises, what is true love? Well, there are many categories of love. I love to watch the sun rise over the mountains. Well, it's because you get sort of a tingling, maybe, when you see the sun rise. I always do. I don't like it to be dark. But there's the sunrise. And so you can go outside if you get up early enough. I don't do this. But you can get up early enough and look toward the east and you'll see that big ball of fire creep up in the sky. And when it does, then it's called dawn. And it's a new day. What are you going to do for the rest of that day? It's all up to you. The if system of happiness has zero capacity for blessing from God. They are all things related to your arrogance and lust, and they combine to destroy your spiritual life. That concept is presently being applied in this client nation. There are evil people who have positions of power and authority. Presently. And their days are numbered. We'll see how that plays out in January. But we have seen the dark side. And it didn't take long. It did it in 4 years. And the people who did it are right out of the heart of hell. One of them ran a third term and wanted to run a fourth one. We said enough of that. But I'll tell you what, when you get people who are really smart people and have an agenda and therefore have power, they can take that trifecta and they can wreak havoc on an entire nation, and they've done it. See, the if system of happiness has no capacity for true love, so that you will never know true love in a relationship. The if system of happiness has no capacity for what God has provided and for what He has not provided. It is God's plan that must come first, so that when we grow in grace and advance to the point of glorifying God, then we will be thankful that God did not provide certain things in our life that would have made us miserable. We often ask God for things and He says no, because it is a great blessing for us not to have them to protect us and our spiritual advance. God is not going to give you blessing unless you have the capacity for it. Don't turn the page. You may desire some things. You may want them. You may plan for them. But you got to have the right mind. You have to have the capacity for it. The concept is in our doctrine here. It's a capacity that we're noting presently. We had some of these things to emerge, and now we're going to go through with it and hear it again. But in the fifth chapter of James, we have the doctrine of capacity. Now, this is the first thing that we have as an entry to the New Testament canon. I believe that to be true. This is the first entry. And who does it? It's a guy named James. Who's he? Well, they got a lot of guys named James. Four or five. Four for sure. There may be a fifth. And who's this James? He's the Lord's half-brother. He is the elder of the group below Jesus Christ, who was not... didn't have a human father, but did have a human mother, Mary. So he is the summum bonum of the family. And who's first after that is this guy named James, and there were others. And this guy named James was the first guy to pick up the quill and sit down with some parchment and start writing some stuff down. Now, I'm in a review, and there are three theologians I'm going to cite at the end of this review. I ordered from Christian book distributors, I searched for those who've written on the letter of James, kind of a search. All of that popped up. Didn't matter to me who they were. Just wanted to have these books. And this is before I taught James 1:1. And then all these books came in. I counted them up the other day. There's round figures, about 10 of them. And I went through them and thought, well, why did I order these? Well, my first idea, the inkling I had, was let's see what other people have written about the letter of James. Well, I really didn't need to go there, because I had in written form a transcription of the letter of James taught by R.B. Thiem Jr. back in 1971. I even put that in the notes, and you'll see how that occurred when we get to it. But I had what I figured and had great confidence in, the summum bonum of pastor teachers, who decided he was going to teach the letter of James in 1971, and he did. And there's a lady out in California, Joe Henry knows her name, can't remember it, but she transcribed the colonel's audios into hard copies. And I called her on the telephone. I said, would it be possible for me to get a transcription of the letter of James. She said, if the colonel says it's okay, it's fine with me. So I placed a call, said, I wanted to do this. Is that okay with you? And he said, fine with me. That is the gist of a further conversation. So it was okay with him. But here's what I want to tell you. I have all these books, well, at least 10 of them, of guys that have sat down and started writing and called it, when they got done, my ideas on the letter of James concept. And they've published books. You can go to Christian book distributors and get these if you want to. And when you get to the point where I cite from these three guys, at the end of it, I suggest you go to Christian book distributors and search for the letter of James with these guys' names attached to it, and buy those books if you want to. Read what they've got to say, but I'm going to tell you a lot about what they say before we get done. I picked three guys I thought were pretty good. So that's coming up. And that's going to take some time. I want you to hear what these other theologians have to say about their engagement with the letter of James and how they thought through that and compared that with the zeitgeist of the first century of the Christian era. And then James, of course, is the first guy out of the box. We'll see about that when we get to it. But I want you to remember that I went through all of these and I found three people that I thought had an analysis of the person of James and the letter of James, and therefore their conclusions they drew from that. So we'll get to that eventually. It's going to be a part of this review. Then when we get through with that, we're going to have an expanded translation of the entire book. I'll just jabber away with that. There'll be 55 imperative moods that'll be cited. But we've only just begun here. Now let's talk about the happiness. We'll go back to the happiness. How do you get happy? When you start reading James, you're going to find out that a lot of people James is not happy about. We often ask God for things and he says no. Because it is a great blessing for us not to have them to protect us and our spiritual advance. God is not going to give you blessing unless you have the capacity for it. The if system of happiness has no capacity to be occupied with the person of Christ. The if system looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. That's the way you think. And therefore, the circulation of thought in your soul, according to 1 Samuel 16, second part of verse 7. Happiness in the soul, happiness comes from the circulation of facilitated doctrine in the seven compartments of the soul that include the frame of reference, vocabulary center, in other words, that's your dictionary, memory center, that's recall, categorical storage, your inventory of doctrines, your conscience, how you think and who you are, the area of application that varies each day of your life, and the area of spiritual growth. In other words, you add to your inventory systematically day by day, if you're serious about Bible study. Therefore, capacity and happiness are in the soul because Bible doctrine's in the soul. So there's a process for you. And we go all the way back to the very beginning. What I wanted you to see here at the very beginning is the doctrine of capacity. How do you get capacity? And so we go through all of this and get down to the conclusion here that I'm about to read to you. But go back to the doctrine of capacity. What does capacity mean? For negative believers to come to a change of attitude toward Bible doctrine, there's a cursing turned to blessing and disaster. Look, in James we see problems emerge by people who didn't have correct thought, and that's okay because they didn't know any better. That's why he's writing this down. You're going to make mistakes because there's a doctrine or a set of principles out there that you are not familiar with or have not facilitated, and you think your way into a problem. Other people will provide the problems for you that you'll have to figure a way out of that too. But every time you fail, it's a good thing, because you're gaining capacity. I didn't think through this clearly, and that's why I didn't manage it properly. For whatever it is you go through, you will learn from it, and you will say to yourself when it's all over and the smoke clears, I know now better on how to handle that situation. See that? How is it you can see that? Because now you've got some capacity. Without capacity, you can't think your way through these things. So when you have problems, when you fail, when you do the wrong thing, you learn from that. It's a good thing. You say, I didn't think through that. I've got the doctrine now. I won't make that mistake in the future. Therefore, the failure is a good thing, because from it you can learn and therefore change the way you think. Conclusion. All of these attitudes in the if system of happiness produce no happiness at all, only frustration and misery. If you're living under iffy happiness, you are in a state of misery. B, if this false system of happiness is an exercise of futility and demonstrates total occupation with self and other things, then, obviously, as a believer, you will never know the fantastic things God has provided for you in time. He's going to provide them. You may not even know it, but they're out there. And it's doctrine that reveals it to you. You will find out when you stand before the throne of grace and receive lesser blessings for all eternity, the greater blessings will belong to those who had them in time. All of these, it's a process by which you grow in grace systematically, and you do a lot of it through your own personal experience. You make mistakes, and that's okay. You learn from that. And then the doctrine comes in. It may be something that appears in your thought process before it occurs, the situation does. Yet you make the mistake of not thinking through it. But then you slap your hand on your forehead and say, I should have known better about that. There's a doctrine that covers this. Or you can say, there must be a doctrine that I didn't get, but I'm learning slowly now that I've been through this. And over time, you accrue all of this information, and it is facilitated in your stream of consciousness for recall at a later date, so that you can say, I've been through that, and I know better now. It's all spiritual growth. If you are in the if system of happiness, you've lost any possibility of true happiness as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because true happiness comes from the execution of the unique spiritual life of the church age. It's unique because it's the church age, and that is a new dispensation. The Jews had their dispensation, okay? They went through that. They even roamed around in the wilderness for a while trying to figure it all out. Well, you can wander around in your wilderness too. We've had wilderness attack the United States of America from the dark side by professionals that knew what they were doing, and they were good at it. And you say, well, they didn't look very smart to me. They were smart enough to almost overthrow this country. That's how smart they were. And all that person had to do was do what she was told to do by the guru behind the curtain. If you do not understand the unique spiritual life of the church age, there's no hope for you. But learning the simple principles involved, it's easy. but you have to take the time. Therefore, we have the opportunity for the greatest possible happiness in all human history because of the execution of our unique spiritual life. During the greatest, therefore the most horrible historical circumstances. We've had that. We've seen it up close and personal. We've seen it in the newspapers. And by the way, you may not do this, but I've done this for pretty near 40 years. When I came here, I subscribed to the Compost Dispatch. Have you done that? You wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, would you? Well, I'm telling you, I've touched it with a 10-foot pole for 40 years. Why? You got to know how the dark side thinks. I read the editorial pages. Man, they reveal who they are in the clear light of day. They have paragraphs. They have visuals, the little things they stick on an editorial page. Do you read the editorial page of the Compost? You say, I wouldn't come near that piece of junk. Well, then you remain stupid. If you don't know how, you know that they're bad guys, but do you know why they're bad? They tell you in the clear light of day every morning. I'll go out to even in the cold weather, I brave and go out to the driveway and get that thing wrapped up in some cellophane and bring it inside. Peel it all open. They got a sports page. Now, that's worth subscribing to it well until this Cardinal sold the farm. But that's another story. But that shows you how bad times are is when the Cardinals go south on you. Well, anyhow, the front page, that's where you'll find, right behind that is the editorial page. And they're going to have comments to make on the editorial page from the editor and all of the guys that gather around and get to write a column. You need to read these. You need to know what these people are thinking. They're running the country right now. You say, I'm just thinking horrible the way things are. Well, why is it horrible? Do you know why it's horrible? Did you read ahead of time to know this was coming down the pike right here in your house? Always know what the enemy's up to. When you study Scripture, you find out what Lucifer's up to. There's clear light of day right there. He's running the entire show here. He's got all his minions. They show up. Where are they? They're right here in the St. Louis area. What are they doing? Trying to overthrow the country. That's their job. And you have to back off and say, well, Lucifer does run everything on planet Earth. We're the anomalies here. The only way we can fight back is to study the Word of God and get the absolutes. And then, therefore, when we have the absolutes, when necessary, we apply it in our personal lives. And we're therefore able to hold off the dark side in our own personal lives. But if you don't know what they're up to, you don't know how to fight them. It's the devil's world. Never forget that. Want to repeat D. We have the opportunity for the greatest possible happiness in all human history because of the execution of our unique spiritual life. That's the Word of God, Church Age. During the greatest and most horrible historical situations, which is manifested today by the abnormal forms of criminality that has arisen in our country, including terrorism. These things are maximum punishment to our nation. But we change all of this by using the recovery procedures of 1 John 1:9 and beginning to advance in the spiritual life. Paragraph E, to have the threat of the fifth cycle of discipline and the attack of terrorism at the same time gives us the opportunity for maximum use of our spiritual life and the greatest opportunity for glorifying God and the happiness that goes with that. Even in the case of terrorism, which we experienced a little bit of in the last 4 years. And you can be happy knowing why it's happening and who's in charge. Lucifer and his minions in a client nation. What's your wall of fire? The Word of God. This glorification of God comes from advancing to the high ground of pleroma. Pleroma status, being filled with all the fullness of God, is what that means. And added to it is the tremendous happiness that comes from trusting the Lord in time of great adversity. The system of advanced to spiritual maturity requires several things. We'll note four. Number one, momentum, the daily intake of the teaching of the Word of God. If you don't know doctrine, then you're working on human viewpoint. Now, there is establishment viewpoint, and that's good. Number two, you have momentum, now motivation. Motivation which comes from personal love for God, which is the motivation to continue to learn the Word of God or Bible doctrine. There are four categories. First of all, personal love for God through learning the Word of God takes us to pleroma, the Greek word for the great blessings God has for us in time. Secondly, a personal sense of destiny. Yes, you do have a destiny. Do you know what yours is? It's personal. Number three, maximum glorification of God. In other words, grow in grace, know more about who and what he is, what he's up to, what he means, what he's there for, involved in trying to guide you through his word. And four, occupation with Christ. The combination of these things results in great happiness. So the three things there, personal love for God through learning the Word, see that, personal sense of destiny, you're in God's plan, know how it functions through studying the Word. I'm telling you the truth, I've been a pastor now for virtually 40 years. There are people with whom I was associated growing up would never have suggested that maybe that'd be what I'd do for 40 years. But it's in the decree. Maximum glorification of God. How are you doing on that? Occupation with Christ. How do you get occupied with him? Be occupied with how he thinks. The combination of these things results in the greatest happiness you will enjoy, because you are in league with the Trinity. They run the show. And you say, well, if they run the show, why is Lucifer running the planet? Genesis 2. Because we got volition. He gave us volition to see how to use it. And in Genesis 2, they decided to nibble on that tree. Let's just nibble a little. And she says, really good. Why don't we just chomp a little more? Didn't play out, and so here we are. Here we are. Therefore, we have the potential for the greatest happiness in human history under these conditions. The great historical adversity where Bible doctrine and reciprocal love for God combined with grace under the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the fulfillment of the unique spiritual life. Now, the Holy Spirit is someone that you need to live with. Confess your sins to the Father. When you do that, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you get up in the morning, did you have any problem sleeping at night before? Did you go to bed upset about something you saw on TV, upset with somebody in your family, upset about just being upset. Well, when you wake up, you need to confess all that and get filled with the Spirit so you can recall doctrine and make better decisions. Advance to the high ground of spiritual maturity by the believer is necessary for the preservation of the client nation. We're believers filled with the Spirit for the last 4 years. We all know. Something must have happened because we got a Checkpoint Charlie, and we were able to run the ringers out of town. Well, almost. They're still going to hang around and make the bloviations, which they get to do until January 20. But do you feel like maybe when the sun comes up on January 21st, that maybe the birds will chirp just a little bit louder? Maybe. Maybe the sun will rise. And even if there's a storm, a magnificent lightning display. Advance to the high ground of spiritual maturity by the believer is necessary for the preservation of client nation America. Advancement. That's our, what shall we say? Our altar call. Only historical disasters such as terrorism. Oh. Provides this opportunity for the believer in Christ. Let's have a little terrorism to wake everybody up. Oh. Therefore, we look forward to the challenge that comes from the attack of terrorism. So we've seen a little of that. And it doesn't look good, does it? All these people milling around, acting the fool, starting fires, killing people, hollering, carrying on. How'd that look? And then we invited other people willy-nilly to just walk across the border into Texas of all God-forsaken things to do. Walked right across the Texas border, right across the Rio Grande. Soaking wet, but here they are. If we advance to spiritual maturity, we can look back and thank God that we found true happiness in the greatest disaster in human history, in American history for sure. This was horrible. This was the opportunity for the dark side to overthrow this country. They still have the opportunity to do more damage. They got about 6 more weeks to carry on. Use your prayer to the Father. Father, give us another 6 weeks to endure this. Then know this, they won't give up because they're on Lucifer's side and he is going to rouse the rabble. There's even now, you knew it was coming, but I didn't think it'd be this soon. There are people practicing with these things you can shoot up in the air. I don't know what they call it. Little things that fly around. Anybody know what they're called? A drone. All right. They're test flying drones over President Trump's outfit up in wherever it is he lives up there in the north. Where is that? New Jersey. Oh, well, God. Well, who's surprised at that? Say, or in New Jersey, they're flying drones over that outfit he's got up there. Now, I don't know anything about drones. I do know that there's a neat little term about going sending things up in the air, and it can go from point A to point B, I guess. But can those things be armed with, like, bullets and bombs and such on? I don't know. Couldn't they? So they're not going to give up on killing this guy. I'm laughing at the fact they don't give up. They've been shown the door. And they say, even though he's going to be president, we're going to send a drone, I hear, a drone up in the air with a bomb in it, and maybe with guns and whatever. I don't know how these things work. And they, when he goes out to tee it up, on the first tee, they're going to shoot him down with some kind of a paraphernalia on the drone. All right. They've tried to kill him twice. There was a third time that things failed down in Texas. But there were three attacks on this guy. One of them was stopped before he could be shot at. And the other one, they zinged off his ear in one of them. And then the other one, they were able to get a hold of everything because the guy couldn't set off a shot at him. But he was out there with a gun. That was down at this place in Georgia. Do you think they're going to quit doing that? They're not going to. They already have a committee meeting. Now, we tried this three times. Maybe we didn't do it the right way. Let's think about doing drones. So we intend to kill the guy. Oh, God. Here we are, 21st century. All right. Related to Scripture, that's paragraph C. Capacity for life is not related to circumstances of life. There are circumstances, but do you have a capacity for it? So capacity is what we're studying. So you go back, this is paragraph C, we've done A and B. What is capacity? The ability to orient and adjust to your circumstances and therefore have problem-solving devices ready to deploy. That's the idea of capacity. Point one. Capacity for life is not related to circumstances of life. You see that in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, reads this way. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in any circumstance. I've experienced times of need, times of abundance. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment, whether I go satisfied or hungry, having plenty or nothing. I am able to do all things through the one who strengthens me. Two, capacity is not related to status quo in life or lifestyle. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your lifestyle be free from the love of money. Keep on being content with what you possess. For he himself has said, quote, I will not abandon you, neither will I ever forsake you. So that, being confident, we say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Three, capacity related to the spiritual life of spiritual maturity. See, the capacity is a factor in getting to spiritual maturity. You've got to learn to grow in grace from the failures or the dangers. How do you manage things after you failed? Everybody makes mistakes. When you fail, how do you recover from that? Well, you fail because you didn't have the doctrine to trump it. And as a result of that, then there's something missing in your inventory, and that's okay. You have to grow in grace, but you can learn from the failure. Capacity then is related to the spiritual life of spiritual maturity. Then we have, and four, capacity is related to prosperity and blessing from God. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, therefore, goes along with 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. Again, verse 8 up in 3, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that because you have enough of everything in every way at all times, you will overflow in every good work. Then in 4, capacity is related to prosperity and blessing from God. That's 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. But the spiritual life associated with capacity for life keeps on being a great means of prosperity. For we have brought nothing into this world, and so we can't take a single thing out of it. You got stuff you really like? You say, I'm packaging that up. I'm taking that with me. Well, you have a big, fat, juicy but in verse 8. But if we have food and clothing, we will be satisfied with that. Food and clothing. Put on your clothes, get your groceries, you're good to go. Principles. God has provided a system of attaining the great objective of sharing the happiness of God. That's the objective. Can you get happy? This happiness is the ultimate in life. Nothing is greater than this happiness, and this happiness is what? It is secure. So, think through this. Have you ever gone through a day where you were not happy? There are things that can occur that really don't amount to a whole lot, but we put a lot of emphasis on it. Take, for example, how the whoever owns the St. Louis Cardinals has destroyed the franchise. And I've been following the Cardinals since I was laying on the floor in South Alabama trying to hear the static of the Cardinal games through the static on a radio, lying on the floor, my ear stuck to the speaker. When I was like 12. And it was Harry Carey was doing it then. And I don't know if Jack Buck was with him or not, but he came along pretty soon after that. And through the static, I fought. The Cardinals were the farthest south in all of the major leagues, okay? And that was the only frequency I could get for real baseball. And I could hear through the static. And through that, I could hear these guys talking about it. And I learned Musial was playing then. Okay. So I endured. And so baseball then was a big deal. Now it's not. Not in St. Louis. If you read the Compost Dispatch, you need to get to today's edition. They've destroyed the franchise. And there's one word that defines the entire problem. Just one word. You know what the one word is? Mosalak. One man destroyed a summum bonum in a matter of a few years. Fred Mosalak. A disaster. Okay, this brings us back to James 5:2, which begins the exegesis of the verse from the New American Standard. Here's how it reads in verse 2. Your riches, plutus is the word for riches, means wealth or cash. Your riches have rotted. Perfect active indicative of sapo. Therefore, it's been corrupted. So your riches have been corrupted, you see. And your clothing has become moth-eaten. See, you can't get out of the house. Can't get out of the house. Because your clothes are moth-eaten. There are holes in them. Do you know the moths will eat holes in your clothing? When I was growing up, my parents and grandparents had these little balls that you could get. I don't know where you go at the store. You go to the store and get the balls from the store. And there was, as far as I know, they were in a package of some kind. And they were about like a marble, about like that. And when you stored your clothing like in a closet or something, you wanted to put these balls in the pockets of the clothes or up on shelves and so on, so that when the varmints came in, the moths, I was understood they were moths. I don't know about that because I was told that the balls would kill whoever came in there. And it's going to kill whoever tried to get in there to eat the clothes. So if you knew what you were doing, you would buy these moth balls and put them in your clothes. Now, you don't want to take them out of the house with you because they can have an odor about them. But during the winter, you have to keep them in the clothes or around the clothes so that when the weather breaks, you take all the balls out because now everything's going to be a little bit better, they say. I remember them saying things are going to be better now. So you know about all that. There's a problem with the moths, and the way you get rid of the moths is with the balls. That's your heads up for the night. Okay, your riches have rotted. Okay, refers to the riches, but these men's souls are what's rotten. The word rotted is intensive, perfect, active indicative of sapo. The perfect tense indicates a present condition that results from a past action. There's nothing inherently wrong with money and wealth except when it is involved in cosmos diabolicus. That's the dark side. That's Lucifer's division. The verb sapo is intensive, giving force or emphasis to this linguistic element. Quote, this comes from Louis Sperry Chafer's Satanology, the Satanic Cosmos, Volume 2, Chapter 7, in Systematic Theology, pages 76 through 78. That's Louis Sperry Chafer of Chafer Theological Seminary, where R.B. Thieme Jr. matriculated. The cosmos is a vast order system that Satan has promoted, which conforms to his ideals, aims, and methods. It is civilization now functioning apart from God. This system embraces its godless governments, conflicts, armaments, jealousies, its education, culture, religions of morality, and pride. So what's he up to? Let's go through it again. Governments, always infecting the governments. So there's that. Conflicts, just had some of that. Armaments, jealousies, education, Frankfurt School, culture. We've had culture take a turn south of late. Religions of morality, by people who have no morals, and pride. It is that sphere in which man lives. It's what he sees, what he employs. To the uncounted multitude, it is all they ever know so long as they live on this earth. It is properly styled the satanic system. That's what cosmos diabolicus means, by the way. Which phrase is, in many instances, a justified interpretation of the so meaningful word cosmos. It is literally cosmos diabolicus. Now we move to document 42. Let's introduce it, and I'm going to have to stop after a minute or so. But the riches have rotted, not because the medium of exchange has done so, but that the souls of men who possess these riches have rotten souls. People with rotten souls go for rotten groceries, meaning ideas. The key to this drama is not the riches themselves, but rather what is within the souls of those who possess the riches. We have that in the context of James 5. James chapters 1 through 5. So these men each have volition. Each or both can decide to advance in the plan of God or choose to raise hell and let the devil take the hindmost. Therefore, the riches occur because of these men's fortunate experience in the blessings of free enterprise. So take advantage of free enterprise, but abuse it. The riches in this passage refer to the system of laissez-faire capitalism, which is defined as follows. We'll define it, we'll call it off until Sunday. Laissez-faire, an economic doctrine that opposes governmental regulation, or of interference in commerce beyond the minimum necessity for a free enterprise system to operate according to its own economic laws. That comes from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language. Well, we've introduced laissez-faire. It's a good place to stop, and we'll take up that discussion on Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity we've had this evening to go through this doctrine, and therefore expunge from it things that are so pertinent to our daily lives. If we're willing to take in the information, the challenges that have been exposed, and therefore the opportunity to use our doctrine to make application in order to avoid the dark side. We thank you for your grace as we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.